Jesus loved Lazarus. In fact, it says that in the gospel three different times. It says, Master, the one you love is sick. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then when he weeps, they say it again. Look how he loved him. Jesus loved Lazarus. And Lazarus died. So we got to let these scriptures really come to life. They're not just words. Like, let it come to life. Jesus loved this man deeply, and that man died. He let him die. I remember when my dad got cancer. He had lung cancer. I've told you this before, but it went to his brain, which meant that then they had to do radiation, and they had to give him steroids to shrink the tumors. So the steroids made him gain a lot of weight, also made it so he didn't sleep at night, so he was just very tired all the time. And the radiation made him lose all his hair. And I remember one day that I went to pray. And as I was praying, the thought came to my mind of what my dad looked like that day. He didn't look like my dad anymore. He was very overweight, and he was bald. And I suddenly realized, my dad is dying. Now, my dad and I had a good relationship. It wasn't perfect, like any father-son relationship. But in that moment, I realized how much I loved my dad. You've all been there. You've been there, right? Martha and Mary, as Lazarus is dying, they send a message to Jesus and they say, Master, the one you love is dying. He's sick. Now, they were friends. They knew Jesus. It says Mary was the one who anointed his feet and wiped them with her hair. Like, that's how intimate they were together. And you can hear it in their voice, both of the women, when Jesus finally comes and Lazarus is already dead. But the hurt in their voices, they look at Jesus and they say, Master, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Right? That hurt coming out of them, which I think is in all of our hearts when we're going through some suffering in our life, whatever that suffering is, some sickness, some pain, or death. Jesus, where are you? Lord, why? Do you hear me? Why didn't you come? And in fact, I think in some ways, this passage shows us really well how to pray to God in these times. And the first thing is to be honest. They're just very honest with Jesus. They say to him what they're thinking and feeling. And that's so important. But then notice what happens next. Mary, when she comes out, after she says that, it says she falls at his feet and she weeps. We have to let ourselves fall at the feet of Jesus and weep. To not harden our hearts towards him and turn away from him, but rather go right to him and to fall at his feet and just to let it out, to grieve with Jesus, be with him in what we're going through. Okay? That's the first step of praying, because look what happens in Jesus when Mary does this. God is not indifferent to our suffering. He's not just up there in heaven saying, well, I know I took that person from your life, but you should just be okay with that because they're in heaven now. Like, no, God is moved deeply. In fact, if you look into the Greek, the verb is very deep. I won't go into it. But moved deeply in his spirit so much that Jesus weeps. He sees her weeping and he weeps. And they say, look how much he loved him. God sees us. He hears us in our sufferings. He's deeply moved. Consider that when Jesus is weeping, he's God. That's God weeping at our sufferings. That's what it is. So what's Jesus' answer? Jesus told Martha, right? Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He comes close. He weeps with us even. He's there. But then Jesus invites us to have faith. He invites us to believe in him, in who he is, to trust him, even in the face of our sufferings. Yes, Jesus, I do. I believe. You are the resurrection and the life, even in the midst of what I'm going through right now. I think Jesus himself, actually, he shows us this most powerfully himself when he's at the tomb, when he's praying there at the tomb. As Jesus looks at the tomb, and he looks at Lazarus's tomb, Lazarus is dead in the tomb, right? Now, just kind of get the, everybody in this passage is afraid of dying. I don't know if you noticed that or not. The disciples say, we can't go back to Judea. They're trying to kill you, Jesus. Don't you know? They're afraid of dying. Lazarus, the one you love, is ill. Come save him. He's going to die, Lord. Everybody's afraid of dying. Jesus looks death in the face at the tomb, and he's not afraid. I have to think when Jesus is looking at Lazarus's tomb, he's thinking about his own tomb. Within a few weeks, Jesus himself is going to be in the tomb. He knows this. He has to be thinking of that. That's going to be me right there. He's not only thinking of Lazarus, he's thinking of him dying. And he's not only thinking of raising Lazarus up, he's thinking of his resurrection and coming to life again. That's what's going through Jesus' mind, I think. And so Jesus prays, Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. That's his prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. The Father hears us. He sees you. Okay? And as Jesus prays, he trusts the Father even in the face of death. And the Father raises Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus knows that he will also raise from the dead. He's convicted even more deeply in his own heart with confidence as he goes to his cross. And he's showing his disciples also, right? He's teaching us. He's helping us. He's convincing us that death is not the end. That we don't have to be afraid of dying. He's giving us confidence and faith in the resurrection. I mean, think about it. They saw Lazarus walk out of the tomb. I imagine Jesus say, Lazarus, come out. And then there's a pause because he's tied hands and feet. It's going to take a while to get out of the cave, you know? There's a pause. Like, what are people thinking? And then they hear something. And then they saw him walk out alive. They see Lazarus alive. I think what Jesus is saying to us, he's saying, actually, I want you to see that this is how it works. That in order to be raised to new life, you have to die first. It's a part of it. It's a part of being Christian, actually. It's okay. You don't need to be afraid to die. Really think about that today. That we have to die to be raised to a new life. That's the only way it can happen. There is no other way. But also, death always leads to new life. It never ends there. It always leads to new life. You know, I don't know what Lazarus thought as he was dying. But I know what my dad was thinking. And I can imagine they were very similar. As Lazarus was getting sick and as he's dying, he's wondering, why does Jesus let this happen? I remember my dad telling me that in some sense, he knew that he had done wrong in his life. And he thought that God in some way was punishing him for his sins, for what he had done wrong. Now, I'll get there. I'll address that. All right, we'll come to that. But that's just where he was at the moment. He said, Craig, I know I did things wrong. And he knew that, like, sins do cause suffering. Like, there's a tie there. So he got something there, right? I know what we could all say the same thing, right? I've done things wrong. Well, God worked with that. In fact, at one point, I remember him and my mom, they watched this video on purgatory, and it helped my dad so much, and my mom too, actually. But what he realized as he watched this, that his sufferings now, they could be united to the sufferings of Jesus at his cross. And that would actually get him ready for heaven. And that gave my dad hope to face the sufferings, because he was afraid. He was very afraid, right? So that helped him, but there's more. There's more there. Again, back to Jesus. As he looked into the tomb, as he looked into the darkness and the stench of death, Jesus loved Lazarus. In fact, Jesus was always loving Lazarus. There was never a moment, even as Lazarus was sick and was dying, there was never a moment that Jesus was not loving Lazarus. He wasn't just too afraid to go back to Judea for his own life to go be with Lazarus and raise, keep him alive. That's not why he didn't go. He was loving Lazarus even as he was getting sick and he was dying. Now, God doesn't cause us to get sick and die. He's not, but he loves us in it, and he does have a plan in it. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die because he knew that his death would lead to a new life. You see? He wasn't punishing him. He was loving him. Because he knew that he would gain a new life. Can you imagine Lazarus after he died and came back to life again? Can you imagine what that was like for him, you know? I mean, I can't imagine that. I assume, like, at least there had to be a lot less fear. Maybe he was free of that fear. The confidence he must have had to know and be convicted of what Jesus says today, that he is the resurrection and the life. And they're like, how do you know that? He said, because I was dead. I was dead. 4 days dead. Like, stench in the tomb dead. And he raised me up. Maybe Lazarus needed to die to be able to come to that conviction. And that deep of faith and trust in our Lord. And to be able to witness that to other people. My dad knew that a part of him had to die to be ready to enter into new life. He knew that. And he gave himself to that. We have to die to enter into new life. That's always how it works. And that's not true just at the end of our physical life on earth, right? That's true every time. Like every Lent and Easter, actually, that's what it's all about. About dying so that we can come to new life again. So let me finish by now turning to us today. What in you needs to die today so that you can have new life in Jesus Christ? What spiritual death needs to happen first? Like we do that spiritually first before the physical will happen. What place of grief or sorrow or just a difficult life have hardened your heart even in some way to God or to other people? Where's there lack of trust in the midst of some suffering that you're going through right now or you've gone through? How do you need healing or restoration in your life right now? And finally, what are your sins? Like my dad said, I know that I've done things wrong too. What are your sins? Jesus is inviting you to let go of these things, to let them die, so that you can be raised to new life. We have to die before we can enter new life. And so I invite you to do that this Lent. In fact, this Tuesday, we're going to have a very special event. Now, you can do this any day, but on Tuesday, we're doing an event specifically for you to be able to do this in a very concrete way. We're calling it a night of mercy and restoration. As you know, every year we do a night of mercy, and it'll be the same as that. We're going to have adoration here. Jesus will be here so you can come to him. This can be a beautiful environment to help you pray. There'll be a little talk at the beginning to just help focus you. We're going to have 5 priests available for confession because we hear the lines get a little long and you'd rather not wait so long. So we'll try to make sure you can all get to confession in time. We'll have some music to help you pray. Maybe you just need to come pray that night. But we're also going to have prayer teams on Tuesday. Something new this year. Just in the back, some people, couple people, a prayer team is people who are simply used to praying for other people. And they're here simply to pray with you, whatever your need is. So you can come that night and you can enter just into prayer. You can just bring your sins and go to confession to one of the priests and let Jesus put those to death in you and come to new life in that way. Or you can come and you can say, well, I've been to confession recently, but I just want to come and I want someone to pray with me. And you can just go to the prayer team with whatever it is you need. And they're simply going to ask you, what do you want me to pray for? And you just tell them what you want. Could be for some healing. that you want to pray for? For some struggle you're going through, some suffering, some anxiety in your life, some depression struggle, some family troubles going on, your children, your grandchildren, whatever it is, you simply bring it to them and they will pray with you. It's very powerful to let someone else pray with you in these places in your life and to receive God's grace there. So why not do both of those Tuesday? All right, why not do both? I really expect it to be a great night of the outpouring of grace in our lives, in our parish. I think it's a night where you can come and you can pray like they showed us in the gospel today. You can tell Jesus, "Jesus, in the midst of what I'm going through, I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe, Jesus, that you are the resurrection and the life. And that you have the power in this place in my life. That you have the power, Jesus, to forgive my sins. You have the power to give me new life today in this place, to heal me, to set me free. Father, I know that you hear me. You always hear me. And he does, and he will. The Father cares about you. He loves you. He's only ever loving you. And in whatever it is you're going through right now, he hears you and he loves you. Remember, the only reason he allows us to die is so that we can be raised to new life.